Welcome back to Rosie on the House. If you're just joining us, we're talking about watering for survival, our plants and landscapes through the hot Arizona summer. And we're going to talk about soil pros because it really will change your life. But before we get to that, somebody out of U of A that has been studying 2 acres of saguaros wrote an article just about how this year, instead of seeing blossom on the very top of the saguaro, it's kind of coming around the edge of it, like a crown around the side. And after I read that, I started looking at saguaros, and sure enough,
I've seen some with blooms several feet down from the top on the sides as well. Yeah.
And he's been studying this 2 acres of saguaros for over 20 years and says he's never seen this and thinks it might be an indication of last year's drought and the saguaro's survival coping mechanism.
Well, one thing we know for sure, plants, when faced with pretty severe stress, will try and flower more and set more fruit. Consequently, then they produce seed in the fruit so that the next generation, you know, there's seed there if that plant happens to die. So people call up sometimes their citrus trees are blooming in the fall if they've had a really bad summer and maybe they didn't water them properly or they haven't fertilized them properly. And that plant is severely stressed, citrus will bloom in the fall. They oftentimes won't set any of that fruit, but it's just their attempt to try and survive, to set fruit and seeds for a succession plant that will take its place if it dies. So it's a complete possibility. I don't know anything more about saguaros than anybody else as far as that goes. But I have noticed the blooming down the sides of the cactus, and you would have thought with the dry weather that wouldn't have bloomed as much. I think it's been the opposite, and that kind of proves that out. They bloom very heavily and bloomed in all kinds of places there again to put lots of seed on the ground in hopes that if they do not make it, there'll be other seed there for the next succession of saguaro cactus.
And you know, this gives me an idea. Every now and then we have a fifth Saturday, and I think we should do a whole hour on saguaros next time we end up with a fifth Saturday in the month, because it is such an interesting plant. It's unlike trees, you can't core into a saguaro and look at tree ring study like you can, but yet they're probably one of the oldest surviving plants in the whole state. Very unique to this region, and you know you can't get the history out of them that you can a tree ring.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder how they do age them, but that would be interesting to talk to somebody about that.
Back to our soil probes. I bought one. It was $40, and it's fiberglass with a metal tip.
Okay.
From Fisher Tools, and what I really liked about it, instead of going around with a screwdriver, a flathead screwdriver, is it's about 3.5 feet tall. So you can stand up and do it. You know, doing one or two trees with a screwdriver, not a big deal. But we have over 50 trees that we manage, and that takes a long time to go to every single tree, get down on your hands, crawl all the way around it with a long screwdriver.
Now, is it just a probe, or is it a core? Does it take out a core so you can actually see the
It's not
moisture?
A core. It's just,
okay,
a straight
probe.
Straight push probe. And because it is fiberglass, it's got a little bend to it. And what I've noticed using it over the course of time, sometimes you'll hit and it'll feel like it's hard because it's starting to bend a little bit. But as I've gotten used to using it, sometimes the top inch or two might be hard and dry and crusted from the wind and the sun. But you know, to really get accurately, you've got to get down at least 5 or 6 inches. And sometimes that top inch or two, like I said, it could be really hard. And you get down and all of a sudden you sink 18 inches past that.
Yeah. And so the tell there is that if you're just getting the first few inches wet when you water, it dries out very fast and gets very hard. If you get the water down by watering longer and slower to 12, 16, 18, 24 inches, it takes a long time for that to dry out. and that plant can go longer between irrigations and or doesn't get as stressed as other plants do if they're, you know, if there isn't water present there for them. So plus you have a plant that isn't as likely to blow over or blow down if it's well anchored. If the roots are down a couple of feet and then they're out as wide as the canopy. Remember, roots can't sense that there's water over there 3 or 4 feet and go find it. That's not how they work. They follow moisture. So if there's got to be moisture present between point A and point B for the roots to get to point B. Okay, and it takes some time. They don't just do that overnight. So you've got to be watering as the tree gets older. You start moving your water out away from the trunk of the tree. When it's a brand new tree, that's where the roots are. But as it grows, and you can watch as the canopy grows, just the roots should follow. So move your water out correspondingly. You don't need to be watering near the trunk at all at some point. Water also doesn't just go straight down when you put it on the soil. It doesn't just, you know, it doesn't just follow that point of watering completely straight down. It hits the soil and it starts spreading out like a drop of water would look. That's what it does when it goes in the soil. It comes in and then it starts spreading out through the soil. So you don't have to put it exactly there. It's going to move some. And if you want to look, you can tell where the soil's wet. It's going to change colors. So water until you've got a good dark soil all the way around the canopy of that tree. That's another way to tell you've watered long enough. That water has, you know, traveled horizontally through the soil structure, and it's gotten that entire area around the canopy of that tree wet. You probably watered long enough. So
it's amazing how well the clays will hold water underneath the surface. Our soil is very good at retaining water.
Well, it has to be, and that's you know, nature's design of desert soils is so they will hang on to a lot of water. It doesn't happen very often. So, you know, that plant can survive till the next occurrence. But conversely, if you keep it too wet, it will stay wet a long time, and you do get things like root rots and different problems by keeping it too wet. So you do have to monitor by different types of soil, depending on where you live. If you live, you know, on the foothills of Camelback Mountain or the McDowells, or, you know, now we're down to the Santans, you know, as the valley's grown and
the white tanks
you know, then as you get up closer to the foothills, the soil structure is obviously going to change. It's going to be rockier, maybe sandier. If you live next to a mountain or a desert wash, you're going to have sandier soils. If you get closer to the rivers and the old valley floor, it's going to be heavier clay. So you got to pay attention to what kind of soils you have as well.
And like you said, it could change, and where you're looking at your neighborhood, it's the developer had flattened it all, but you know, your house, your backyard could have been an old wash that
haul in soil? You could be sitting on top of a filled and compacted soil pad, building pad. So you just don't know. And you know, people often say, well, how come I've got a hedge or a row of plants and these three are doing fine, this one's growing really fast, and then this one won't grow at all? So, well, when you dig the holes, were they all dig the same? Well, no. I mean, when I was digging, man, I'm going like crazy. I'm digging 3 or 4 holes, and then bam, you hit one. There's caliche, or there's rock, or there, you know, or something.
You found where the concrete guy cleaned out his truck.
You found where the concrete guy cleaned out his, yeah, exactly. So you almost you can't even treat the same plants in the same row the same, because the soil might not be consistent all the way down that row of plants.
So I guess what it really sums it up to be is when you're watering in the desert, understanding the soil is really your main objective, knowing the soil you have and making sure we've got adequate amount of water, but also making sure our dry out time's the same. All, you know, those sandier soils, they're going to dry out a lot faster than the
right.
clay soils.
Right.
Because they're just going to drain a lot better. So knowing the soil and watering to the soil and to the plant is really what we need to make sure we're doing on our homes, landscape, and gardens. But now I'm really curious, Jay, because I was talking about my soil probe, and you're talking about one that has a core to pull soil out from below.
So you can actually see the coloring and the moisture that is or is not present in that. So it's just like, you know, how we core aerify lawns with a little short hollow tine. It's the same concept, only it's on a long probe, and you stick it in, and then when you pull it out, you've got 18 or 24 inches or whatever of an actual core
soil sample.
Which, you know, it's pretty easy to tell what soil has moisture in it and what doesn't. It's just another tool. We talked about, you know, that. The other thing that people need to do is, you know, with technology now and irrigation controllers, I mean, you can set your lawn or landscape up into many different zones or programs so that you don't have to water everything the same. You know, if you go out in your landscape when it's 115, you may have one plant or some type of plant that is a little bit wilty before the other plants are. The big trees don't need watered as often as the little shrubs. The lawn doesn't need it needs watered more often than any of them. If you've got pots, they need watered more frequently, and you can't water it as long as you just water it, running water out on the ground. So get a controller that will allow you to, you know, organize your lawn or your landscape. You know, where somebody's putting in an irrigation system across the street, I think, right now, banging and clanging.
Depending on how good the soundproofing is, listeners may be hearing that.
So you can separate that into a, you know, a number of different zones, and you can run each one of those independently. So I can run my lawn, if I've got grass, every other day for a certain amount of time. I can water my pots every 2 or 3 days, or every day in some cases for a certain amount of time. I can water my trees every couple of weeks for a certain amount of time, so forth and so on. So that's another great, you're not just watering everything to the least common denominator, in other words. So you're always going to have a plant or two. And that's also a great way to tell when maybe things are getting a little dry. It's great to have an indicator plant in your garden. Say, you know, that Cape honeysuckle in my case, in my yard, it's one of the first things to show a little sign of wilt. So when it's getting like, okay, well, things are getting close to needing some water if it's wilting. So
having your designated not survival. Or
it's kind of my moisture meter.
Yeah, your designated moisture meter plant.
It's kind of just what I call an indicator plant. And, you know, having something in the garden that will do that is a great. And, you know, if you've got a vegetable garden, you need to water it completely different than anything else. And you need to water it different from the day it goes in. You know, when we plant those things in January or February, and now here it is June, we're trying to eke out the last few tomatoes that are on there to get them, to keep the plant alive till it's ripe. You know, it takes a lot more water. And as the plants grow, same thing as a tree. They need water differently and longer and more water than they did when they were just a little, you know, transplant or seed.
One final segment in our Outdoor Living Hour here with Jay Harper right after this.